good to stand up here and see we do have a pretty good crowd. I've been looking at this bunch of rows right here, and I thought, they not hardly anybody here, but there is a pretty good crowd here this morning, and we're all proud you came here to worship with us this morning. Of course, I know you're aware now that there are a bunch of them are gone to that camp, and of course, Matt's one of them. And of course, when Matt left, some of us tried to give a lesson in his absence, and I can't help but think back to my childhood when the local preacher was going to be out of town for whatever reason, and then some of the members were going to give the lesson. I'd always get real excited because I knew he was going to get out early. And I'm just glad kids nowadays don't think like I did back then. For my lesson this morning, I've had this on my mind for a while, and this subject or this idea or something. I thought I'd try to make some kind of a lesson out of it. I want you to know I've struggled with it, trying to get my points across. But I hope you can get some kind of idea of the point I'm trying to make with it. I've gone over these notes a dozen times, and every time I end up changing something, rewording it, or scratching out this or adding that. I really do admire Matt, how he can just stand right there in the middle of the floor with his Bible and just rattle off everything he wants to say without using notes. That amazes me. Of course, I know he's a young man. He's got a young mind. I do good just to find my way up to this building sometimes. It makes me think of Harold saying one time, he said, I really miss my mind more than anything. Well, that's kind of where I am now. And I also remember my dad saying, well, just keep living because it's going to get worse. And I have found that to be very true. Our congregation here has been for quite a while now going through a time where we have a number of sick folks. We go through periods like this ever since I've been a member here. Through the years, there'll be time when there'll be a longer list and then not such a long list. If you read our bulletin, and I hope that you do, you'll note, other than the fine article that Matt and others put on there from time to time, you'll notice on the back that there's a list of folks that we call it our prayer list, or prayer special requested prayers, or some such as that, and that's a good thing. These folks are having issues with their health. And it's good to pray for them. We as a congregation will pray for them right here in the congregation. But we also need to be praying for them away from here as individuals. They need to have our prayers. But when we do pray here as a congregation, it shouldn't only be for the benefit of the one that we're praying for. It should also draw us closer together as a congregation as we share together in that love and concern for these folks that are suffering. We read in James chapter 5, verses 13 and through 15, that is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, we recently discussed these verses in our Sunday morning class upstairs. James led us in a class on the book of James. Also, on the next page, in verse 16, we find out that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much. And we discussed all that. We discussed that about that anointing with oil, that back then they felt like it had some sort of a healing nature to it. And I understand that there's still some in the Far East that still practice this with the oil. So that we can say that as we pray for our sick here, that we're in keeping with this scripture here in James as we pray for others. It's possible that as we, week after week, continue to see some of the same names on that bulletin, and we know that they're hurting, it's possible for not only them, but for us to become somewhat discouraged, to know that these are good folks, these are good people, and they're experiencing all these various illnesses, various diseases such as heart trouble, cancer, diabetes, maybe some pain and suffering from a serious accident. There's grieving over loss of loved ones. Or maybe many of the problems that I understand some of the doctors have come to call TMB, which stands for too many birthdays. And that's, in other words, that's us of these of this advanced age and the problems that we have as we go old, as we grow older. We see that most of these people are Christians, and of course we call them good folks, but they've obeyed the gospel, and they've tried to serve the Lord most all their lives. And when we see what all they're going through and what all it is that they're enduring, it might cause us to just ask, why do good folks have to suffer? They believe in Christ. They try to serve Him. They have a desire to someday be with Him. And we might think that God could ease their suffering if He wanted to, but for whatever reason, He has chosen not to so far. Of course, we know what Jesus said in Matthew 5, where He told us that God does not discriminate about things like this. He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust. We find that in verse 45 of Matthew 5. So for the next few minutes, I want to look at some possibilities why God might allow good folks to suffer, and if anything good can come from that. Experiencing pain could be a motivating factor in our lives. This could cause us to make changes in our lives, changes from things that may have led to us having that pain and that suffering. During these times of pain and suffering, it might cause us to see more clearly just what is and what isn't important. If you've ever experienced a close call with either an accident or a serious illness, you might come to realize just how fragile our lives are while we're here. Things like this can cause you to think more about life and death and what goes on hereafter. It can make you think. Think about Job. If it wasn't for his sufferings, he wouldn't have found all the answers to the questions that he asked God because of all his sufferings. Sufferings many times motivates us to look to God, to look more to His will or His Word. When things are going well with us, we have a tendency to kind of coast a little bit. And maybe we don't give near as much thought about God and about life as we should. But pain and suffering can cause us to look beyond ourselves for help and for answers, for relief. So you see, pain and suffering might not be necessarily a negative thing. If we're experiencing the pain or discomforts ourselves, well, then we're going to be more likely to be sympathetic toward others who experience some of the same problems that we're having. It'll allow us to be more sympathetic, better than we have been in the past. And when I say sympathizing or being sympathetic, I don't mean just having feelings for someone else. I mean to be able to understand just how it is that they're coping with these problems and carrying on with their lives in spite of whatever degree of pain that they're going through. If you've never had any issues with your back, you may not understand just what somebody's going through with back trouble. I have had some years ago with my back, so I understand a little more about it. I understand that if you're down in your back, you're down. To try to work with back trouble, not only if you have a physically challenging type job, but even if you sit in a chair at a desk, if you're experiencing back trouble, well, then you're going to suffer some with it. To come up here in this building and to sit in the comfort of these seats that we have here, if you're experiencing back trouble, a couple hours in a seat here is not real comfortable either, especially if you got a long-winded preacher standing up here. So if to see folks like that around us that have such problems and they're carrying on without very little complaint. They continue to faithfully attend the services, and they can keep their sense of humor. And they do all this while experiencing that pain. Well, that's something that we can admire, and we can even be encouraged by. Not only are you better able to understand and sympathize with these folks, by experiencing it yourself, it will help you to appreciate the effort they're putting out, their spirituality, by observing how they're dealing with their issues. Also, you might better understand those who have allowed themselves to become discouraged or become depressed with their suffering, which that can happen when the pain is so constant. We can read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, that even Jesus had to suffer some pain in order to become our Savior and to truly sympathize with us. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18, "Therefore in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted." Now that propitiation, that's a word I don't believe I ever used it, but it means to make things good again, to make things right again. And that, in this case, it's between God and man. Jesus made propitiation for that. We can all find common ground with others when we experience pain and suffering ourselves. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're black or white, male or female, child or adult. We can all understand suffering with pain, because pain is pain. It doesn't discriminate. There can be some good that comes from suffering, in the fact that it will bring us closer together and help us appreciate others like ourselves that are dealing with the same types of pain. We come closer together as we help each other bear one another's burdens, as Paul told the Galatians. God will allow us to suffer, because it's possible for suffering to bring out the reality of sin and what sin can do. If someone suffers as a result of a terrible accident or a serious illness, the question that's going to come up so many times is why, or why me? Some people want to blame God for their suffering. They get really mad at Him because He won't stop the pain. They blame Him as if He was the cause of it. And sometimes they just turn away from God. But the Bible will tell us that God is not the cause of our pain and our suffering. It's sin that is the cause of pain and suffering and even death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it all began with Adam and Eve. James hit on that this morning in his lesson, so we're going to hammer on Adam and Eve again, I guess. When they disobeyed God in that garden, that resulted in the fall of man. And then later on, as sin became more and more prevalent on the earth, well, God destroyed so much of His creation with that flood. The sinful nature of man, along with being subject to diseases and sicknesses and various tragedies you might come in contact with. Well, all this has brought about all kind of suffering that every generation has had to endure down through the years, through history. Not only that, but sin also brought about sure death to everyone. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, we're told, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." There are probably folks out there that don't really understand or realize that it was sin, and that's the reason we have this suffering and we have this death. But for those of us who are Christians, the suffering that we may experience, it ought to be a constant reminder of just what sin has brought into this world. And if we understand that and think on that, it ought to help us or give us more incentive to try to shun sin and stay away from sinful things. It should help us to see sin the same way God sees it. And we ought to develop a strong hatred for it. To see all the pain and the suffering and damage that sin's done to other people around us, and it should make us want to flee from sin, as what Paul told the Corinthians in his letter to Corinth. To have a good understanding of sin and what all can come with it, we ought to be able to develop a better appreciation for the sacrifice that Jesus made in our behalf. When he went to that cross, he became that perfect sacrifice by shedding his precious blood. Well, he removed our sins and he saved us from eternal suffering. Possibly without the connection between sin and suffering, we might not have ever come to know and come to obey the gospel of Christ. Well, I mentioned earlier that some may want to blame God for their pain and their suffering. Well, then there are others who might draw even closer to Him because of that suffering. We can read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 7 through 10. I want to read this. It's about Paul, Apostle Paul, some suffering he's gone through and how he responded to it. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, we don't know exactly what this physical problem was that Paul had. We know that it was a problem for him. He referred to it as a thorn in the flesh. He said it was a messenger from Satan. But we know it was causing him some kind of discomfort. We know here that he said he pleaded three times with the Lord to take it away from me. Remove this thorn. But the Lord told him that his grace was sufficient for Paul. And then he said that his being God's strength is made perfect in weakness. So in other words, God's telling Paul that Paul's weaknesses was causing him to have a greater dependence upon God. And that was good enough. That was sufficient according to the Lord. This occurrence in Paul's life can bring to our attention that sometimes humans want to try to go at everything on their own. They want to be self-sufficient, and they want to not depend on anyone else. Pain and suffering in whatever form it takes can move us to be more dependent upon God for everything. It's not a shameful thing or a sign of weakness that we want to be dependent upon God. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it should be. It's a fact of life. We do depend on God for everything. Every breath that we take, every step that we make, he's watching over us. And unfortunately, for some folks, it takes some pain or some suffering to make folks realize that. It's a sad thing when people who do suffer, but yet it doesn't cause them to draw any closer to God. They'll be stubborn, self-dependent, full of pride. They won't accept any help from anyone. And that's not a good way to be. The greatest gift, if you can call it a gift, that one might receive from having pain and suffering, is if it's not necessarily just getting your health back, which that would be a blessing from God, but the greatest gift or the benefit is that dependence, or maybe a new dependence for you that you would have and develop and have with God each day, whether you do or whether you do not suffer anymore. So let me be clear, if I can. Let me try to be clear. No one wants or likes to experience pain and suffering, not even Christians. As Christians, we can use that suffering to motivate ourselves to change, to get our lives in order, to make things right with God if we haven't as of yet. We can't allow our suffering to open our eyes and our ears to others and be more sympathetic toward them. Christians should never forget that it's sin that is the cause of all our suffering, and Christ is the answer to our sin and even all our suffering for everyone. So finally, we as Christians can use our suffering as an opportunity to draw even closer and become even more dependent on God and with each other, regardless of whether we continue to suffer or whether we don't. We all know people who are dealing with pain and suffering. Some here, as I said earlier, they're listed in our bulletin. Well, there are others here that's not listed in our bulletin. There's a number of folks here who suffer with various issues with their health. And if you kind of look around, you'll see a pretty good number of folks that are in that 60-plus club. And that typically means there's going to be more problems with health as we grow older. I hope that I've got my point over this morning. I know it's kind of, I'm not sure. Anyway, it's not a pleasant thing to have pain or suffering. We don't desire to have it. But we as Christians, we can look at our ailments in a little more positive way than folks who are not Christians. We can be more positive about things instead of being more negative. So I'll ask you this morning, what's your condition? Is your pain causing you to be angry? Is it causing you to lose hope? I want to encourage you not to give in to negative attitudes about your suffering. Try to be more positive about things if you possibly can. Well, as old Forrest Gump said, that's about all I got to say about that. Before I completely lose my voice, I want to offer an invitation. Our Lord offered an invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I'd like to read that this morning. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, while this doesn't necessarily mean it's going to relieve us of our physical problems and suffering, and that won't necessarily be over, but the emotional and maybe spiritual burden that suffering can cause us to have, it can be done away with. We can give that burden to Jesus. He will carry it for us. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." If we can be of any help to anyone this morning, we will ask you all to now, I'll ask you to come forward as we stand and we sing this song of invitation.